Well, okay. It's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio today Edna DeVries, mayor of the city of Palmer, who is a candidate and will be for the House seat that represents a Palmer area and is going to be on the ballot and on the primary election that happens on August 21st. Welcome, Mayor.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for doing this. It's great to be back in the studio with you.
Okay. So we're doing these interviews, and we have a pattern that we hope will fit with all of the candidates. So we have a set of questions that we'll be asking. But first, thematically, we came up with something that I believe fits with the modern world. And I'll share that. The faster things change, the harder it seems to adjust to the change. So taking that as our background theme, the first question is, in Alaska, some native elders are saying our traditional knowledge is no longer reliable. Describe how you think this observation applies to politics in Alaska for everyone.
Well, traditional knowledge, you know, years ago when I first ran for the city council back in the 70s, you know, we didn't have Facebook. We, you know, had landline phones and you walked the area. I don't remember doing, quote, mailers or anything like that. So that traditional way of campaigning at that time, although walking is still very effective, even in today's options with, you know, all of the other things that you can do. But that face-to-face and personal contact is very important. But I think the traditional knowledge is something that you have to be wise enough to realize that you can build on, but you can't always rely on. And so by that is that whether it's in computers or whether it is in the way maybe children are raised and the challenges that the young people have now that they didn't have, you know, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, or even probably 20 years ago. And so you have to keep up to date on what is going on in and you don't have traditional knowledges in how to handle Facebook, how to handle cell phones. What age do you give your child a cell phone? You know, you barely had one landline coming into your house,
right.
You know, say even 25 years ago. And at that time, people had cell phones that were big as shoeboxes, you know. So, so in that way, but I don't think also the traditional knowledge just continuing on and raising children, the fact that you love them, you care for them, that they you should have family meals together, et cetera, that traditional knowledge that has probably been going on since cavemen, I believe needs to continue. But some of the other attractions and the temptations out there, we need to be able to adjust to.
Okay. Second question. How have you managed change in your own life?
Well, my day job is teaching students that are the ages of 16 to 25. So that certainly keeps me up to date on the, quote, the latest slang. They'll say something to me about, you know, say an outfit that I come into to the school classroom with on or something like that. And I'll have to say, okay, now tell me what that means. Is that good or bad or what? And if my husband was here, he would tell my husband when he graduated from college, went to Boeing to become a programmer in computers. But I was a typewriter person, and so when I was elected in the Senate back in the 80s, of course, that's when computers were starting, and my husband said he never thought that I would ever give up my typewriter. But it's now I love computers and point and click and that kind of thing. And so now I probably wouldn't give up my computer or my tablet or my cell phone or my laptop. And So those things, I think you just, in order to be able to change, you have to just be open to like, okay, what is going on? And not say, well, no, I'm never going to do that. Or, you know, I don't see any use for that or anything like that. Because if you shut your mind to what is going on around you, then you're building up walls, and I don't believe you can effectively be representative of the people.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Question three. If you consider yourself a conservative, mm-hmm. describe the best qualities and achievements of liberals with whom you have worked, or vice versa.
Okay. Well, I think people do think that, and I do. I believe I do have a reputation of being a conservative, although that word is used so frequently now, I think it's really even hard to say what it means. But I think in my personal life, even though I think, like I said, I probably 80-90% of the people, if you ask them, okay, do you consider Edna conservative or liberal, they would say she's a conservative. And so, but in Palmer, I believe because we're so focused on building a community and being respectful of other people's views, that going back to the part about just being open and listening to people and saying, well, I don't know whether that issue could be considered conservative or liberal, but it's a good idea for Palmer in the Palmer area. And so I think we need to go do that, or we need to investigate that further. And so I think one of the recent one was banned the plastic bags. I think the people on the far conservative side would see that as taking away a person's right, and I can certainly see that. But I guess I happen to be old enough of generation remembering when they took the paper bags away from us, and none of us wanted plastic bags because we were used to getting paper bags at this grocery store. And so some of those things, I think you have to look at a broader picture and not saying, well, that's a liberal issue, and so therefore I am not going to vote for that, or I'm not going to listen to people about that. So I would think that would probably be one of the latest examples. And then I think maybe one of the other things is when we did the Palmer Pride recently, I gave 3 keys to the city. And I think we had people of all spectrums there. We gave the key to Miss Alaska 2017, who is a young, beautiful lady that has been traveling the state talking about compassion and walking in the other person's shoes. We gave one to Barbara Hunt, who, of course, has done so much since she's left Job Corps regarding just building the community. She's more on the artistic side mm-hmm. of our representative of our community. And then we gave a key to John Lee, who has now has turned the business over to his son, but built a very reputable business at our airport. And so he's sort of from the more of the business side of it rather than, say, quote, the artsy side of it. And so I think that was a good example of building the community in Palmer and recognizing the people for the talents they have and the contributions they've made and not looking at them, oh, well, I know that person's conservative or that person's liberal.
Okay. Mm-hmm. As a candidate for the state legislature, do you believe that the way the people's business is conducted needs to change? And if so, describe a specific way that change can be achieved.
Well, one of the things I would like to see, and again, I guess that this goes back to my history of being involved for so many years, is we all had voted on the Capitol being moved. And I think that the Capitol probably idea is pretty dead right now, but I would like to see more legislative sessions closer to the population. And I think that would change not the way people feel like that they have an influence. Instead of just sending an email or a text or calling on the phone, they'd be able to actually go in and sit down, listen, be at some of the committee meetings and talk face-to-face. So that would be one of the areas that I would like to see changed. The other is the caucus rule regarding, you quote, sort of sign in blood the fact that you're going to vote for the budget no matter if you are conservative in what you feel the spending level should be and vice versa. And so those are two areas, I think, that are areas that I would like to work on changing.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Describe your prediction about the makeup of the next legislature and explain your reasoning and the probability that you will be right.
Well, and you know, I honestly don't know what to say, sir. I talked this over with my husband. Of course, everybody gets together. They talk about it. I honestly don't know what the legislature is going to look like, because there are quite a few seats where incumbents are not running, both, you know, in the House and on the Senate side. And so it could be completely different. But I think if we go into it with the idea that I'm there to represent District 11's interest and not to form any conclusions regarding, okay, well, if so-and-so gets elected, then that's going to put it into more of a liberal basis versus a conservative basis. So just really need to be open to that. So I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm dodging the question, but I don't have a crystal ball. And I guess if I did and was able to predict it, I would, you know, maybe not have to have another job.
Thank you for that answer.
Yeah, I don't know if it was an answer or not, but I said some words. So,
well, here's question number 7. What do you think is more important, voting based on your constituents' concerns or your own conscience? For example, if your constituents were to overwhelmingly support an income tax, state income tax, but you personally oppose one, how would you vote and how would you explain your decision to your constituents? And by the way, who do you consider your constituents?
I'm probably looking at one now.
I live in the district.
You do live in the district, and you lived inside the city of Palmer, and so you've been a constituent of mine for some time. I wouldn't say I would shut the door completely to that. I would like to meet with the people. The other thing I think is if the income tax is being used as something to, quote, balance the budget in the state of Alaska, then it is in a much bigger picture than just the fact that, okay, we are in support of an income tax. And one of the other parts of the equation is, I think, many people feel that with the cut in the dividend, they are, quote, already paying a tax or, you know, giving money to the state for its operation. And so whether you would label that as an income tax or not, probably not, because it's not based on income. It's based on the number of people really in your family. I won't say that, even though I'm personally right now, I don't see the need for an income tax. But I certainly would not take and shut the door and say that I would absolutely not vote for one.
Okay. Well, one last question. Mm-hmm. The discussion about the budget has taken up most of the current legislative or past legislative session. Mm-hmm. If further cuts in expenditures are to be done, describe specifically what those cuts should be and also what impact the cuts will have, and if additional revenues are to be added, specifically describe them and what you would see as their impact.
Okay. One of the areas that just within the last 2 years that has been added to the state budget is the Medicaid expansion. And the figures that I've been able to delve into and receive from people is that it costs about $750 million. $350 million of that is federally mandated. So that means when we did the expansion, that meant that you were going to provide this service to these constituents. But the other $350 million is the quote sort of Cadillac plan. There are options that the federal government said you can take and provide these, but you don't have to. And so that's one of the areas that I would look at. The other one is I not necessarily in the way of cutting, but in looking at the university system regarding the property that they got, the land for land grant, is are they utilizing some of that or are they capitalizing on that to pay part of the contribution for the running of the university system? So, and I'm former instructor at Matsu Community College, got my associate degree from there, very much supportive of the university system. But I would like to look at those things. So those are a few of the things. And I think, you know, you can always take and cut down some on travel, use more. Again, going back to how things have changed in our lifetime, doing more of GoToMeeting or teleconferencing and those kind of things rather than to have a lot of travel. So I think there's some smaller things like that that maybe won't move the needle very much, but it is some things I think we need to look at.
Okay. That was the set of questions that we provided. Now there's an opportunity for you to finish up with any comments you'd like to share with listeners and constituents. By the way, what about those constituents? Who are your constituents?
Well, I believe my constituents are everybody, whether they are a two-month-old baby to a 102-year-old person. Well, I guess it's a 100-year-old person that we have living in Palmer. So my constituents, I think, are all of those people, whether they vote or whether they don't. So I think every, of course, breathing human being, I guess, that live inside District 11 is part of my constituency. And it's not, my constituency is not based on who's contributed, who's supported my campaign, or like I said, who's even bothered to vote or registered to vote. Because everything we do in the state legislature affects every one of those people.
Okay. Any last comments?
No, I think I just appreciate you doing this. I think it's good always to get the word out, and I just encourage people to contact me. I happen to be one of those people that still have a landline. It is forwarded to my cell phone, so I can pick it up any place. So I'm mixing the old and the new, I guess. But I just felt as being, even though you can go on the city website or on my Facebook pages and get my phone number, I just thought that, because my husband still, when we're talking about something, he goes to get the phone book, you know. So there's still quite a few people out there like that. And so so I have that landline, and so I just encourage people to reach out to me if something that's going on that I should deal with as mayor, or, you know, something that they feel that should be happening on the state level.
Okay. Well, okay. Thank you. Edna DeVries, candidate for the House seat coming up here in the primary election on August 21st.
Good. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.